Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean.
There I am.
Hey, hey, here we are. Here we are. Are we having the most fun ever?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I know Ginny's been trying to get me to what is this? Online podcast? What did they call it, Ginny?
It's a live video podcast with a live audience with your beautiful face and brilliant brain beaming out to the world and letting everybody know the very best that there is to know about everything that relates to natural health and your physical body and how to take care of it. And I think that's the most amazing thing in the whole wide world that we're doing this. That's what I think.
And we've been doing this forever, 14 years or so on audio on the internet, but that wasn't enough. Enough for the social media enclave that just wants, they want bits and bytes, and you know, they want to see if we mean it. They want to see if we really mean what we're saying, right?
That's right. If we're ever going to give up or wear down or go away, which none of those things are going to happen. And also they want to see your authentic self, your truthful self coming through. And everybody could always feel it in your voice. I mean, Carolyn has one of the most healing voices. And when she would get on a roll on the radio show and people could hear her, they'd just kind of be like, ah, da, da. And you could feel the healing waves going out. And now they're going to see the healing waves going out because she has such a strong, powerful presence and such a powerful healing aura. So you'll be able to participate with that. And we're so excited. Once again tonight, this is, I think, our third broadcast on X. So we're back live on X at Dr. Carolyn Dean. Be sure to join us there. You're on YouTube with us. We're going to continue to expand our channels and our coverage and continue to let people know about Carolyn and her work, which is so important so that they can discover what she knows and implement it in their life as she has. And look at her stunning self. I mean, who wouldn't want to look as great as she looks at the place that she's in her life? She's very blessed indeed. And a lot of that has to do with the formulas, your own choices, Carolyn, of course, and your lifetime being devoted to natural health, but also these formulas ain't no joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ginny, 50 years ago, when I went to med school, when I was 25, I had the idea that I was looking for the great work to be able to help people understand their health and their lifestyle and their wellness. And that was back in the days when everything was natural. Mm. When I think the food was more natural. Certainly the dietary supplements were. They were just made from whole foods back then until they became synthetic. And we have a question coming up or a comment from our audience about dietary supplements. And I think a lot of people are concerned about dietary supplements because most of them are synthetic. I do not support synthetic dietary supplements. So yes, we're doing the great work, you and me together, Ginny, with a cast of thousands.
Yes, we have a huge cast of thousands. We have beautiful customer service, marketing, and warehouse team behind all of this. So many affiliates that promote the work, incredible podcasters that are supportive of your words and the things that you want to share with audiences. And now mega X standing behind us, as well as YouTube. And we're out here to tell as many people as we can to really enjoy your work. And the beginning of the work, I think, starts with your books, don't you, Carolyn?
Right. When I moved to Manhattan from Toronto back in the early 90s to do AIDS and chronic fatigue research, I guess I got an audience and I started to be on local TV, morning TV. I was on The View a number of times until they started to do direct-to-consumer television advertising, which just, it was all drug companies. And they presumably didn't want to have someone on who'd say, well, you know, just take some sprouts or use some turmeric, or, you know, a little bit of ginger and you'll be all. So yes, it and then a publishing company approached me to do a book, and I began writing, and that became a real good outlet. And that was Dr. Dean's Complementary Prescriptions or something, and that became my Future Health Now Encyclopedia, which is like 800 pages. And that's, is it ready for the members yet? Or the FDA has made us cut out the names of our dietary supplement products from my book. So we're updating all my books right now. Right, Ginny?
Yes. And the Future Health Now Encyclopedia is not exactly quite ready yet. But the books that we feature here this evening are, and one of the books that you wrote that really put you on the map big time was The Magnesium Miracle. And then we've added up and cleaned out your library, so to speak, with the FDA. There it is, The Magnesium Miracle. But that was the beginning. And then Magnesium, The Missing Link to Total Health. Yeah, absolutely.
Love writing. Love, love, love it.
Yeah. So.
And it's reached so many people. And the it's interesting, Jenny, the cost of this is so little. I'll buy 100 books and just give them out in my morning beach walk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I should tell you, I had my first, I've been here in Maui 17 years. I had my first little health lecture, I called it, at the Wailea Healing Center in Wailea.
No few.
About 50 people turned out, you know, as Julie said, the crowd went wild, and we had a really great talk. It was focused on magnesium, of course, but magnesium encompasses so many, like 65 health conditions or illnesses can be due to magnesium deficiency. And people don't know that, doctors don't know that, but we know it. And we're trying to get that information out to people.
So let me just make sure I'm hearing this correctly. A health condition, say like GERD, instead of it being a disease, it could actually just be a magnesium deficiency. Is that right?
That's right. The way the diaphragm is the cutoff point between the esophagus and the stomach, that diaphragm can go into spasm and kind of stretch that area between the esophagus and the stomach and allow food to regurgitate up. It's all muscular dynamics. I remember saying in that lecture that there are 600 muscles in the body. And any one of those muscles can cramp up, tense up, get irritated because there's too much calcium and not enough magnesium to relax the muscle. 600 muscles can be affected, and you could have 600 muscle diseases. And that's what people are doing, or the doctors are doing. And they don't know what's causing all this muscle tension. So they give you a muscle relaxant or an anti-anxiety medication. Mm-hmm.
So, and the heart's a pretty big muscle, right? And the brain's not a muscle, is it? It's an organ.
It's an organ, but yeah, I love comparing the heart and the brain. And anytime I can tell people that the mitochondria that make energy using magnesium to make ATP-MG energy molecules, they make the energy in mitochondria. The heart muscle cells, each of them has 5,000 mitochondria, but the brain neuron cells, each neuron has 2 million mitochondria. So I'm saying magnesium deficiency could be the reason for all this dementia and senility, you know, maybe even Alzheimer's, because they still don't know what causes Alzheimer's. They got this theory and that theory. They're trying to draw testing and draw treatment programs into a research proposals to study what's causing Alzheimer's. But even if it's toxicity of aluminum and lead and mercury, those heavy metals can be detoxified with magnesium. Magnesium and minerals have receptor sites all over the body in the cells and whatnot. If you don't have enough minerals, then heavy metals will jam themselves into those receptor sites and give you heavy metal toxicity.
Right.
Really, we don't have a treatment for it. We can talk about chelation and doing an intravenous EDTA or DMSA to pull out heavy metals, but they'll pull out your minerals as well.
Right.
And you're already mineral deficient.
Right.
And what they give back is usually a lot of calcium, which causes calcification and will cause soft tissue brittleness, you know, hunching, joint problems, arteriosclerosis in your heart, because the calcium will build up in soft tissue if it doesn't have enough magnesium to dissolve it. So magnesium keeps calcium in solution and directs it to the bones and teeth. That's one of its jobs, along with K2. So that when we work with vitamin D3, we also work with K2.
Right. Now, I heard Gary Brecka, the guy who used to work in insurance, is now an international health expert, say that Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes. And I've heard this more than once. What is your thought on that? Do you know a lot about it, or how are you thinking about that?
Well, diabetes is what happens when the cell will no longer take in sugar, the glucose. Insulin transports or opens up the channels for glucose to get into cells. And if there's too much glucose, if the cell is already filled with glucose, you get insulin resistance. So that's glucose, insulin, and insulin resistance. In the brain, what we know is that this little organ is responsible for 20% of the glucose use in the body. So the glucose, it goes through what's called a pyruvate cycle. The pyruvate jumps over to the Krebs cycle to make your energy. So what did I say about the brain? Each cell has 2 million mitochondria. So there are 2 million mitochondria wanting this glucose to metabolize it. So that's why we need so much in the brain. But if you've got too much glucose and you don't have the magnesium to make the energy, then you're going to get insulin resistance in the brain and metabolic problems. Now, another thing that it's so funny you bring up this guy, because I just heard him being interviewed about methylation and how, he does thousands of lab tests. I was laughing because I gave up on lab tests a long time ago because they're so arbitrary. And they just look for the average of the sick population in their bell curves. And it's got nothing to do with optimum health. We really need to know, well, what do these measures mean if you want to be healthy. But anyway, he's doing his best, but they'll do all these tests and they come up with all these methylation pathway problems, the gene SNPs, SNPs, the genetic variations of MTHFR, and there's a COMP, there's a MTR, there's several of them. And when I dove into these enzyme systems that are causing all this methylation problem, what do I see? Yes, you do need folate, but there are four methyl Bs that are necessary. And so I knew that decades ago. So what did I do when I worked on RB complex? There are 8 Bs, 4 of them are methyl. So I created a food-based methylated B complex along with the taurine and methionine. And everybody should take that. I don't need you to do a $400 blood test to check out if you need methyl groups. Everybody needs methyl groups. Some need more methyl groups. And a couple of things he said was very important. He said the ADHD people, they get too revved up with adrenaline and so forth. We could call it anxiety. But he says maybe they need more methyl groups. What do we say about B vitamins? They're important for stress and anxiety, for depression as well. But the nervous system needs your B vitamins because of the methyl groups. So, you know, what we should be telling people, Ginny, in customer service, if people still feel revved up, and they're on our, and we can't even say the name of our products, they're on our B amino acid, we just tell them to take more. Because what happens if some of these enzymes don't break down that adrenaline, or what he called them, catecholamines, they don't break down the adrenaline fast enough so that, you know, when you go to bed, you're still revved up. So you need to break down that chemical. Everything in the body is biochemical. So what we're working with is information that I've learned over the 50 years since before I went to med school, actually, because that's when I read all the existing books on nutrition and wellness. And there were only a handful back then. So I put it into practice that everybody needs methyl groups. Everybody needs vitamin D. Everybody needs vitamin K2. Everybody needs food-based vitamin C and ascorbic acid. Everybody needs magnesium, selenium, copper, boron. Why do $1,000, $2,000 of testing and it says, well, you're very deficient in selenium. Let's give you a high dose of selenium, which will throw out the rest of the cascade of minerals you need to make your thyroid hormones. How many times have I said that? You need 9 minerals to make your thyroid hormones. And if you just give high doses of one, which is seriously allopathic naturopathy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying take a little bit of everything that is perfectly well absorbed. And of course, with our minerals, they're stabilized ions of all the minerals. They're picometer in size, and that's the size of the cell mineral ion channels.
Very good. Well, that's an excellent analysis of Gary Brecka's work. I was just on X while you were talking, notifying him that we're talking about him on this show. Because I think it's very good. And what you say is so important. People are overwhelmed. And oh, by the way, what if I can't afford $2,000? And then what does that do? It makes me feel less than and out of the loop and not certain about how to take care of my body. When you know that every single day, everybody needs methyl groups, as you've said, and all the basic building blocks are covered in our very simple formulations, you can meet your own needs. And it's amazing how, and we've seen this so many times, Carolyn, when you start to take the products that they actually just start to lift the body and the body takes care of itself. It's incredible. It needs very little in some cases. Sometimes you just, for the most part, it just knows what to do.
Right. I mean, the enzymes I mentioned, the COMP, etc. When you look at the pathways and even a simple internet search, they, oh yeah, it requires magnesium. Oh yeah, it requires B vitamins. Oh yeah, you know, maybe if I look deeper, it might require copper. So you can't just say, you know, let's give it some methyl. Let's just ride in the methyl groups.
Right.
When those methyl groups need the magnesium and the and other Bs and other minerals to make them work. We cannot keep just saying this is the reason. I mean, that's where Mercola is constantly going on about it's all about the seed oils.
Right.
When he knows very well, I mean, I've been on Mercola talking about magnesium, and it used to be, yeah, it's all about magnesium. But they get caught in this, you know, one trick pony or something. Or, you know, they want to emphasize it so much that you turn people off when you say it. This is the answer. It's all about this.
Right.
So there are a lot of little answers, and they all work together.
That's right. Now, Michelle made a beautiful comment here, Carolyn. She said, I replaced my synthetic bees with your formulas. I've had my SNPs tested, and I do have MTHFR issues. But the information you're giving is so important, and it is true. What you're talking about tonight is important for a lot of people.
Very good. Yeah.
Excellent. And then also, how can you tell? She also goes on to ask, how can you tell if something is a synthetic vitamin? Carolyn.
The methylated bees, they have a specific name. And we had, for our folate, we had to get something called quadrifolate, which is a patented methyl folate. If you see folic acid on your B vitamins, that's synthetic. So you look for the methylated names on our label and then compare them. And as I've said, you know, many times, if a B vitamin is even above 10 milligrams for most of the Bs in a B complex, that's got to be synthetic. You cannot find the high doses. So what are people have 25 milligrams, 50, 100 milligrams of B vitamins, because what happened through the years is, well, doc or naturopath doc, this 25 milligrams isn't working. Well, take a 50. So they just keep pushing higher and higher doses, and eventually they can work. I mean, we aren't doing the research or the studies to find out, well, what are the downsides of giving these 100 milligrams of B complex? I know a lot of our biohackers, I mean, you take our buddy Matt, he'll take a high dose of something and go on for 3 months and then tell us all the horrible side effects that he had. So the biohackers are proving it over and over again that you cannot treat dietary supplements as if, like you do drugs, where you take a high dose and expect it to do something beneficial.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Carolyn, I wanted to tell you that Death by Modern Medicine is number 2 in the agricultural category on Amazon, and also on a food policy category, it's number 7.
What? So
yes. So Amazon is rocking it out with Death by Modern Medicine. It is prescient, prevalent, and prophetic. And I hope everybody scans this barcode, get your copy. If you're a member at drcarolyndean.com, which is Dr. Dean's own personal website, you can receive the book at no charge, along with all of our other approved books. But or you can just grab it on Amazon, especially if you want to Kindle it. But it's just fantastic that that's out and it's rocking it, and people are intrigued and they're finding it and checking it out. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I wrote it 20 years ago, and it's just now. Well, it's gaining, you know, public notoriety. I'm sorry I keep wiping my face, Ginny. I drink my water and then splashes back on my face. So I apologize. I'm not crying. I am not an emotional person. Just ask Bob the next time I yell at him.
That's right. That's right. So tonight,
he wanted me to tell you that he finished categorizing all the Wyndham Lewis quotes that he thinks are very important. Okay.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you, Bob, for that important update. We will talk about it later. For now, I want to ask you about your blog for this week. It's also about death by modern medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much here. I think if people don't have the time or the patience to read my 600-page Death by Modern Medicine book, these blogs that we've been putting out, they go over three chapters each time of the chapter 10, for example, death by sugar. Mm. And this is really important. I mean, there are 10 teaspoons of sugar in a soda and 15 or 20 in a milkshake. And at any one time in your bloodstream, there are only 2 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm.
So what you're doing to your body, if every day you drink a soda, you're overloading your system. You are creating insulin resistance and, you know, marching toward diabetes. And I would not say to go to the synthetic sweeteners, because that's even worse. I think I have an article about that coming up. I mean, there's too much to talk about. It's a couple thousand words, this blog, but yeah, I got censured by my Ontario Medical, what are they called, licensing board up in Canada in the late 80s because I said bad things about sugar. And some, you know, it wasn't the public that complained, but some doctor complained to my licensing board that I was saying bad things about sugar. And it turns out that gentleman was prodded to do that by a sugar lobby group. So, I've been doxxed for a long time. So sugar contributes to magnesium deficiency. It contributes to diabetes, of course. And it also fights with vitamin C. And I don't even know if I have this in my old book, but vitamin C and blood sugar glucose, they compete for the same transport system. So when you take a lot of sugar, like birthday party, you know, whatever, milkshake, then you stop your vitamin C from getting into cells for about 4 or 5 hours. So that's where your immune system is subject. As we know, after Halloween or birthday parties, Christmas, you know, a lot of people get sick because their immune system is weakened. So it's very important kind of to understand that information, you know, intellectually know why you're trying to avoid sugar. Chapter 11 is death by addiction, and sugar comes up here too, because sugar is an addiction far stronger than what we see with heroin. It's the basic addictive substance from which all other addictions flow. Refined sugar and all refined foods such as polished rice, white flour, and the like are nothing less than legalized poisons. And that was said by Abram Hoffer, who's a famous Canadian who was part of the orthomolecular scene. So, and sugar is in tobacco. So people are smoking and smoking sugar, getting addicted. When people go off alcohol and tobacco, they go for sweets. So, I mean, there's a lot more information. I could say much more, but pills, people being addicted to pills. It's an addiction of fear where the doctor tells you to take a pill because they say you have an illness, you need a pill, you think your doctor has your best interests in mind and wouldn't give you a pill with side effects. You get side effects, you go to the doctor says, no, you just need more pills. So you, there's this polypharmacy of pills that have never been tested together that will put people into a downward spiral. And then is there another? Yeah, chapter 12, death by denial. I mean, we see that now in the world where, you know, factions are saying the opposite things, but we have to get ourselves healthy so that we can withstand all that stress. And death by denial, it's a lot about the psychiatrist, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who pioneered the five distinct stages that an individual experiences going through a catastrophic life event, commonly known as the five stages of grief, and the first being denial. So that's it for the blog.
That's very good. Well, that's an incredible blog. We're welcoming all our new viewers from X and all of our regular viewers from Facebook tonight, from YouTube. And just having a fantastic show here with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Nina wanted to ask Carolyn, how many molecules of magnesium does it take to break down a molecule of sugar or an artificial sweetener?
I don't know about artificial sweeteners, but to break down a molecule of sugar, it takes 28 molecules of magnesium.
Oh my gosh.
But get this, to break down a molecule of fructose sugar, it takes 56, twice as many.
Wow.
So what happens when, especially in the vegan vegetarian world where they say, oh, you can eat all the fruit you want and don't worry about it. You can actually create a buildup of sugar stores, glycogen in your liver, because the only place that fructose can break down, glucose breaks down in every cell in the body. Fructose is metabolized in the liver. So the more fruit you eat, the more your liver will build up glycogen and triglycerides. I remember, you know, maybe 20 years ago, Mercola saying when he moved to Hawaii and just ate a fruit diet because it's so delicious, his triglycerides shot up. I mean, I think he said they were in the thousands. And triglycerides, what are they supposed to be, around 180 or something? I don't know off the top of my head that one. So yeah, sugar is wasted on sugar wastes magnesium.
Yes, absolutely. I remember we've talked about that before. What makes you a magnesium burner? We'll have to talk about that again, Carolyn, that the people who use a lot of sugar burn a lot of magnesium, and stress does, and exercise and other things. Right. And magnesium burners are susceptible to magnesium deficiency even more so than others. Although I think with today's toxic environment, everybody's susceptible. Right. Now, on artificial sweeteners, I think it's commonly just believed that they just, oh, the body can't use them, and they just pass through the body and don't do any damage. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I have something about artificial sweeteners coming up. So
great.
People can hang on. I'll go into that.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. Wonderful. Well, let's press on. I know you've got a lot of things you want to share tonight. What's next? What would you like to talk about?
Well, we usually do the Maha Agenda next. We're on number 10. Ginny and the crew put together, with the help of AI, and I guess sorting through my work, sorting through a Maha Agenda of what the 14 steps were that should be addressed in order for us to have a healthier medical and health system. So number 10 is detox and gut health as foundations of wellness. So what I'd say about that is, yes, that sounds great. Detox is happening every minute, however, in our bodies, and we just have to support it. And what do we support it with? Methyl groups, we talked about that, and sulfur groups. In our B complex, we have two sulfur amino acids, taurine and methionine. So they go into the liver sulfation detox pathways. All the antioxidants are important for detox as well. I already mentioned in the brain, if you've got lead and mercury and aluminum hanging out in receptor areas that are supposed to hold minerals, the more minerals you take, the more you'll bounce out those heavy metals. And then gut health, it's become a huge topic, but people ignore the yeast overgrowth problem, which is the basis of leaky gut. So with yeast overgrowth, when you take any amount of antibiotics, women with the birth control pill, high sugar diet, high stress, when your cortisol soars, all those constituents, all those situations create yeast overgrowth. They kill off the good bacteria. They allow the yeast that are hanging out in your large intestine in order to eat up whatever food comes through. You're supposed to be evacuating your large intestine, but if there's still food there, they'll deal with it. And the yeast, they eat up the dead things that the body can't use. So they're like a bit of a garbage dump. But if there's room in the small intestine, when you kill off the good bacteria, they will crawl up to the small intestine. They will puncture holes in the small intestine and cause a leaky gut.
All right.
And what do some, allopathic and even natural medicine doctors treat leaky gut with is antibiotics, which just makes the yeast worse. So I've got books on that. Our customer service can talk to you about that, but it's being ignored in the gut conversation. I think that's enough to say about that. I mean, I've got a lot written about yeast that people can look at.
Okay, that's fantastic. Excellent. Very good.
Now, there was a comment that came through. Customer service said, it was a comment about what I said about why people are turning to alternative medicine. And someone who it looks like is a vegan or vegetarian said, you're kind of missing the point of healthy living. Pushing supplements is not the answer. It never was. A plant-based whole food diet and an active lifestyle are the key. And I agree. I mean, I'm in Maui. I have an incredibly active lifestyle. And I have a biodynamic organic farm. So I am doing my best to look at the plant-based whole food diet. And when I eat off the farm entirely, I don't feel good. I cannot maintain my magnesium levels or my other mineral levels on a plant-based diet. And it's partly because the soil is depleted. In order to replace all those minerals that started out naturally, like the 72 minerals we can get from sea salt or the magnesium, where 100 years ago we could get 500 milligrams of magnesium in the soil, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now we're lucky to get 200. And the evidence is very clear. I remember a convention we did. You were there, Ginny, in Chicago. There were a couple of vegetarians who came up to me and said, wow, I heard your talk about magnesium and about getting heart palpitations and leg cramps. And they said, we're getting those, but we're on the 40 ounces of green smoothies a day and we just eat healthy. What's going on? And I said, you can still be magnesium deficient in spite of your diet. So I remember we gave them a bottle of our magnesium, our picometer stabilized magnesium ion. And the next day they came back and said they were better because they were so clean and so healthy. A little bit of magnesium was all they needed. I had many conversations with Charlotte Gerson of the whole Gerson world. Her father had Gerson therapy. I forget the name of the book. He was curing cancer with his vegan more like vegetarian diet. I don't know if it was 100% vegan, coffee enemas, and liver extract. So over the years, she told me, we can't use the liver anymore because it's all contaminated, even from organic cows. And she came to me talking about her heart palpitations and what would I say about them. So I was giving her magnesium. Seriously, people, we cannot get what we think we're getting from our diet anymore. And there are so few people who can completely follow a vegetarian vegan diet. Only 4% of the North American population is vegan vegetarian, and more would be if they could do it healthily and if they could do it along with taking really genuine supplements that are well absorbed, food-based, picometer size. So that's what I say. And are you there, Jenny?
Yes. I'm here. Now, also, another thing that Tom wanted to ask you that he just wrote in on the show is, what are your thoughts about the nightshade families and how they contribute to rapid pulse or possibly even triggering AFib or any other health consideration?
Yeah, I don't know about rapid pulse, but that's really interesting. You, the COCO, C-O-C-O pulse test, was something that I learned about decades ago. You eat a food and you take your pulse. You take your pulse before the food, eat the food, take your pulse. If your pulse rises, then you're allergic to that food. And yes, for people who are susceptible to AFib or arrhythmia, if their pulse increases, that could trigger. So a food allergy could trigger. Now, with the deadly nightshades, potatoes, tomatoes, green peppers, eggplant, and get this, number five, paprika. Mm. I consulted with a mime once who told me, I can't bend my fingers. You know, I'm a mime. I need them. And so I rattled off, potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant. And I forgot paprika. He came back probably 3 weeks later. I gave him 3 weeks and he said, well, they're much better, but not perfect. I rattled it off again and mentioned paprika. He said, you never told me about paprika. I'm Polish. I eat it every day.
Oh.
So he stopped the paprika and his fingers were great. Wow. But the finger swelling, I talk about it all the time. Every time you eat off your diet and eat something inflammatory, your fingers are going to tell you what you're wrong. So anyway, eggplant, yes, paprika, potatoes, tomatoes, everybody's different. If one time I grew a lot of tomatoes and I ate a lot of tomatoes and my fingers started swelling. And I even think I started getting a little bit of nodules on some of my knuckles. So I stopped that. So some people are susceptible.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Helpful hacks. Carolyn, do you have one for us today?
Oh, right. Okay. We're on to the helpful hacks. Where's my note on helpful hacks? There we go. So, especially with our vegan audience, they're into smoothies. So what I've got is on top of doing your whatever, and we get a lot of smoothie drinkers at the market, they're buying this and that, and they'll buy the spinach, the kale, the Swiss chard, the collards, arugula, beet greens, turnip greens, dandelion greens. But then there's also, let me come to the camera, sprouts. You can put sprouts in your smoothie. You can put kumquats. Look at these gorgeous little kumquats. Now, the beauty of kumquats is that you can eat the skin. You are not peeling these little guys. You are either eating them straight or I chop mine up and, while I'm at the computer, I'll eat them. Kumquats, because that rind is heavy, heavy bioflavins, and it's awesome. So then you've got ginger. This is an incredible ginger that we grow. You've got turmeric. incredible turmeric. You've got rosemary, for Pete's sakes, that you can put in your smoothie. And then, oh, I have some parsley, flat leaf parsley. Look at that green, Ginny. And I thought I had an arugula. Pretend this is arugula, but it's two parsleys. Two parsleys and a pear tree. So people can kind of expand their smoothie drinking. A lot of people, they think smoothies, oh, let's just do carrots and oranges or something. I had a kid once up in Toronto. His mother brought him in. I've said this story before. He started to get headaches, and I think she called them migraines. So I said, what have you done lately? She said, I'm trying so hard to make him healthy and lose a little weight. I've got him on carrot juice. So she was juicing carrots, high sugar, no fiber, just the juice. So I said, well, let's just stop those for a couple of weeks. And of course, his headaches went away. So it's all an adventure. It's all an adventure. Right, Judy? I'm thinking of Julie because Julie's here helping out with a farm and my charity, a project, Ginny, to bring children onto the farm and do farm tours. Isn't that exciting?
That's very good. Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, I can be Judy, Jilly, Ginny, Julie, whoever. No. I'm so impressed with the color of that flat parsley, Carolyn. Yeah. That is so beautiful. And everything that you shared, I don't think we have kumquats in our store, but I'm going to look and see. I've never eaten a kumquat in my life. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll have to see. But the bioflavonoid is very interesting. So I'll have to check it out. Yeah. I'm always willing to do something Carolyn recommends at least once. Worked out really good. I'll keep going. Something's worked out great because I haven't stopped in the last 15 years.
Right. And I do the same because I have tried Ginny's margaritas, even though I'm not a drinker. Her margaritas are awesome.
That's right.
And so I'll drink one and then they just laugh at me because I get drunk because I have no alcohol dehydrogenase enzymes.
That's right. That's right. But we temper it with Realign and then we go on a 40-day fast, right, Carolyn? So we make it all right. That's right. All right. What's next on your list, lady? What would you like to talk about?
Okay. Here's an article about what's the point of electrolytes.
Oh.
And, you know, I know most of these articles now that you see, they are clickbait. They want to draw your attention and they, for the most part, don't know what they're talking about because they've got these young people who are writing the articles on the cheap. I remember decades ago when I was in New York. So, yeah, that's 30 years ago. I would write for Natural Health Magazine or whatever. So they would pay doctors to write articles. Okay. But then, you know, the budget drops and they hire writers to interview doctors. Hmm. And then they put out these articles. So they're saying, is there any point in taking electrolytes? And they go on to say, exercise fans swear by them, but we investigate whether we should really be replenishing our bodies with these essential minerals. So. It's like, duh.
That's kind of a giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah, there's your giveaway.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah, they're kind of essential. And as I've already mentioned, soil research shows epidemic mineral deficiency. Mm-hmm. So electrolytes have enjoyed, they say, such popularity that in 2022, the global demand was valued at $49 billion. A number that's expected to increase to $109 billion by 2030. And so they go into the definition of electrolytes as essential minerals found throughout the body involved in muscle contraction, conduction of nerve impulses, keeping up normal fluid balance in the body. And we lose them through urine and sweat, so replacing them is essential. And they say the main electrolytes are sodium, potassium, calcium, and bicarbonate. that they don't mention magnesium in the first pass.
Wow.
And then they inaccurately say, we should get all the electrolytes we need from our diet. And we don't. I just proved that with, seriously, I mean, I have a farm for the purpose of getting all my nutrients. And they aren't giving me all my nutrients. I have proven it myself. So what about supplements, they say? Electrolyte supplements generally provide a concentrated dose of any combination of the four key electrolytes. And then they mention sodium, potassium, calcium, and magnesium, which are depleted when we're dehydrated. Bingo. So yeah, they finally mention magnesium and they talk about dehydration. And water intake is so important. I talk about my water intake guideline, measure your body weight in pounds, cut that in half, and then add sea salt to every quart of water. And you're getting 72 minerals. And that's the start of hydrating your cells. And, you know, when you think of hydration, and they're saying it's important. I'm saying it's important. But then you look at people when they're told they have a bit of high blood pressure and they're told don't drink so much water and take a diuretic so you can, you know, dehydrate your body so there'll be less pressure on your blood pressure. So, yeah, we're working against nature there. So the article goes into the food sources of electrolytes, but like I said, that ship has sailed. And yeah, I've reported about that, you know, 90 years ago in the Senate, they talked about mineral deficiency in the soils. So somehow in this article, they're acting like electrolytes are different from minerals and only required under certain conditions. They say, I think they said somewhere, they're only required in people who are losing a lot of electrolytes in surgeries or I don't even know if they say athletics, but that it's probably in athletics too. But minerals are the building blocks, the structural building blocks of every cell in your body. So that's that. Case closed.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a question here about this thing about stiffness in fingers and legs in the morning and just a general stiffness in the body, it seems like, especially if you've been sitting for a long time or what have you. You've talked about food allergies. What other things might this person want to consider, Carolyn, that might be affecting them?
Well, it could be anything in the diet. The seed oils are pro-inflammatory. That's our sunflower, safflower, canola, corn, and soy oil. Most of those are now genetically engineered. So they're inflammatory, genetically engineered. I mean, do some experiments. You know, one night have a whole bunch of ice cream. And that's an experiment. It's okay. And then in the morning, see how you feel. You know, if you're stiff, it's like, oh, okay, I better cut back on that. Just do some experiments. You know, after a restaurant meal, I'll always be stiff. And it starts in the fingers, but then, you know, with a lot of sitting, it'll be in the hips. And gosh, everybody now on the, not everybody, it's so many people on the beach walk, and I point down to the beach right there. They've got knee braces on, or they've had the rotator cuff surgery or hip surgeries. And what happens is we lose our muscles when we don't walk. You think of your quadriceps, they're on the front of your thighs, and your quads aren't going to be strengthened if you're sitting around and you stay on one surface. You have to be walking up and down steps. You have to be walking up hills. You have to be doing a few squats or whatever. When your hamstrings get atrophied, you cannot lift yourself out of your chair. You have to also have your balance. I mean, this could be a hack where your balance, you can practice it. And I've said this many times, put your socks and your underwear and even your sneakers on, standing on one foot, not all at once, but yeah, you know, you have to have a balance where your other foot is ready to catch you if you trip. If you trip, your other foot is supposed to help you gain your balance. You don't lose everything when you trip. So you have to, I mean, stand in front of a window on one foot and the other foot, you know, bent a bit at the knee. It's a yoga exercise. And most of us can't do that. You have to keep your balance and keep your joints by movement and, you know, keeping your quadriceps. You know, you've seen older people and maybe overweight older people try to get out of a chair. I mean, they need help. And it's because they can't, you know, get their own legs, you know, in a strong enough position to move the rest of their body out of their chair.
Yeah, you've got to move. There are so many inexpensive ways now. You don't need to be in a gym. You can turn on YouTube and you can Google, look for a 10-minute yoga session and follow some basic yoga instruction and yeah. Do it on the floor. Get used to starting. Balance is always a part of yoga. You know, walking, like you say, Carolyn, but you can't just walk in place in your home. You've got to get out and be in the terrain and be in nature, be in light, you know, and
And the other thing is, I should have had it up here, but my 3-pound weight, I carry 1 3-pound weight. And, you know, you can't really see my muscles, but I had a arm injury. I was inactive in my arm for 3 weeks. It went to noodle size. And then within a couple of weeks of my 3-pound weight, you know, I've got my muscle and I don't have any flab. Seriously. You can just carry a weight. You don't even have to do the biceps curl or the triceps back swing. You can just carry a weight and your muscles will build.
Well, and you know, I think the thing of it is you also have to have the desire to move, to be well, to feel good, and to enjoy your life. And if you're motivated and inspired by that, and if you don't, what Carolyn always says is some people don't even feel good enough to get off the couch and move because they're so nutrient deficient. Mm-hmm. And so if you're low in your minerals, your magnesium, your cells aren't firing, you've got brain fog, if you don't have your vitamin D, your vitamin C, and all the other assets you need are the B's, then you're not going to feel good and you're not going to want to move. So you probably want to do some supplementation, set some goals for yourself, get properly hydrated, and then make a commitment to yourself after 30 or 60 days of following a protocol of that nature. Then set your game to do the next level, which would be to start to move. Carolyn, would you agree?
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. You need that picometer magnesium to give you enough energy to want to move. It'll also help you sleep. If you don't sleep well, you don't want to get up in the morning and go exercise. But everywhere I've ever lived, you know, cold environment or warm environment, I've been out walking and that's served me well.
Yes, absolutely. We've got just a few minutes to the top of the hour, Carolyn. What would you like to talk about?
Well, let me quickly go through this silly article. It's about Ready Care frozen shakes recall.
Oh.
Yeah. So 11 are dead from Listeria infection from frozen shakes frequently used in nursing homes. However, besides the bacterial contamination, they probably haven't registered the number of deaths from the ingredients of this product. Look at this, Ginny. A vanilla frozen shake will have non-fat milk, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, two different syrups. There's a corn syrup and then a high fructose corn syrup, maltodextrin, which is another sugar, corn oil, and that's an omega-3 pro-inflammatory GMO product, whey protein is that next. And then comes the water. It could be fluoridated and chlorinated. Soy protein isolated, that's another GMO. Whey protein concentrate, that's a dairy product. Mono and diglycerides, those are emulsifiers. Guar gum, xanthine gum, carrageenan, and those are kind of iffy on the, you know, when you look up on the eco websites. Locust bean gum, those are mostly thickeners. Then they have natural and artificial flavors, and those are the flavors that Bobby Kennedy is trying to get out of our foods. It's got vitamins and minerals. They put some magnesium oxide in there, which is the cheapest and the least well absorbed. They do have some sodium ascorbate, so a type of vitamin C. Now they have a ferric orthophosphate. Now that's an iron, which you shouldn't give to elderly because they build up too much iron. Then a synthetic vitamin E, and then they have a couple of B vitamins that are synthetic, like the folic acid. And I mean, it's just amazing to me. All those, not all, I'm sure some of the synthetic vitamins can help a bit, but that's way too much toxic material for the elderly. We have a protein powder that is clean and awesome, but it's not allowed in nursing homes because they just work with, you know, certain manufacturers or whatever that, you know, have a sign on the dotted line. You know, they have the agreement with the nursing homes to just use their products. So even the family can't bring in anything natural to their family members. So all, you know, what we do is tell people, okay, take our magnesium lotion or balm, put it in the hand lotion at the bedside and use that in replacement, and people will start feeling better. But we're in a very bad way when nursing home patients are fed that type of toxic
goo
food.
It's awful. Yeah. I mean, just awful. I mean, all the stuff we talked about tonight, synthetic vitamins, soybean oil, oils, and sugars. Just hideous, just awful. Yeah. Well, listen, everybody, we're so glad you were with us tonight. We want to remind you that if you are looking for Dr. Carolyn Dean, and now you should be following her everywhere she goes. She's on Instagram. She's on X. She's got her own website, drcarolyndean.com. And it's jam-packed full of information. Just like tonight's show, Carolyn could talk for the next 15 hours without stopping and not repeat herself. Okay. She knows that much and she's got that much to share. And a lot of it is on her website. Please go there. If you're interested in any of the formulas we talked about tonight, you can visit us at rnareset.com. That is her product website where all her proprietary products are located. And then, of course, unbelievably or not, we couldn't possibly help all the humans and not help their pet family. So of course we are at picopets.com as well. All of our liquid mineral products formulated, packaged, and dosed for your family pets. And so check us out there. So we're so happy you were with us. Bookmark this channel. Come back again. Stay in touch with what we're doing and be part of everything we're offering. Anything else you'd like to add, Carolyn?
I just love that picture of Artie, our puppy model.
That's right. That's right. That's Sheila Kern's dog, Artie. He is our model, but he is a very captive audience. He's been using the products for a long time. And you can tell he's a Scotch Collie, beautiful dog, and very, very healthy. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the doctor of the future. Be Become a member of drcarolindean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.